The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
Go better for them. So that'll be one aspect of it. Then he says the second aspect, and we'll also be able to clarify who is the dedicated person to Hashem, who is true in his service of Hashem, bisovloi, in his suffering, a time when he's ruled over and he's embarrassed, and yet he remains firm in his service of Hashem. He'll receive reward from Hashem through this, for this. So we find this idea that the tzadik v'raloi v'rosh v'toivloi has a benefit that the wicked person, or that is the one who on the outside pretends to be a tzaddik but inside is evil, will run to evilness because he thinks that'll be more reward for him. But the tzaddik, even though he is suffering so much as a tzaddik, will continue to maintain his tzidkus. So that's really testing who is the tzaddik and who is not. It brings forth, in other words, it's the famous answer that if there wouldn't be tzaddik v'ralo v'roshah tovlev, it would always be tzaddik v'tovlev v'roshah v'ralo. If you're good, you get good. If you're bad, you get bad. Everybody would do good, but there'd be no good in the world because there'd be no free choice. We're just doing it because it's like we're programmed that way because there's no challenge. But I think what's interesting to point out here is he does not talk about the wicked, the evil person, as opposed to the righteous person. He talks about the person who on the outside is righteous, but on the inside is evil. That's the one who he seems to say is being tested. So there's two tests over here. There's the outside righteous and the inside evil, and there's the total righteous. And it would seem that what he's saying is that a good person, a truly good person, is going to continue to do good. The temptation to do bad only affects the one who's good is only skin deep. If one who's good is skin deep, but deep under it is evil, such a person, when he sees that the wicked people are doing well, that person will say, hey, I'm going to join them. But a person who is good is not even tempted to do it. That temptation doesn't exist for him there. Because if he's really good, then he seems to be able to put in perspective the suffering in the world, and he knows this is part of the world Hashem created, but I'm loyal to Hashem. The only thing it does, it gives him an opportunity to rise higher, because despite the fact I continue to do good, but it seems the temptation to give it up and become evil, that's only to the person who has that evilness inside, which means that if a person wishes to insulate himself against the nisoyan of tzaddik v'ralo, the confusion of suffering in the world, and maybe the impact it could have on him, then it's very important for him to have his inside in sync with his outside. Just like his outward appearance of a righteous person, the inside should also be righteous. If he's toichei kebaro, if he's truly connected, then such a person will not have any test or challenge to give it up because he's truly good. Okay, then he continues with another discussion completely. And he says as follows. V'kivan shehizborer chiyuv ha-gilgul al ha-sibos al b'nei odom. Since we already know the obligation for putting in effort, doing hishtadlus for the things in life that we wish and that we need. Excuse me. So, since that is clearly known to us now, he says, "Nivoyer ato." Now let's explain. Ki ein kol odom chayev lachzer al kol sibo misibas hateref. He has sibos rabbis. Every person is not obligated to do every form of ishtadlus, because there's too many. There's so many. I'm not sure exactly what his chiddush is that I might have thought. I guess maybe I might have thought that even though everything is from Hashem, but once we see that we're obligated to do ishtadlus, I might think that the ishtadlus I'm obligated to do is infinite. whatever is possible. I could be a doctor, I could be a dentist, I could be a lawyer, I could be an accountant, I could be all of the above. So let me go do all these things, so I'll make every effort to make parnosa. That you don't have to do. Okay, he says, Mehen, he says, there are many, I guess too many, Mehen nekalos shetorchon me'at, there are those easier ones that have only a little bit of effort, kischeira b'chanus, like you run a business in a store. Run a store, that's minimal effort. Or meleches yad shetorchon me'at, or weaving, or doing something handiwork, tfira, sewing, and weaving, and things like that. And then he includes, I guess, in this working the fields. I guess those are minimal; those are not as great. There's things that have even. I guess they didn't. The working the fields was not that. I see why. Oh, because he talks about hiring workers for the field. A supervisor. Oh, supervisor is not such a heavy work. But some of them are heavy work, some things. Ibud ha'iris, one who has to tan hides. So it's habarz lahan choishes min moitzehim, and taking metal and copper, taking them out of their original state and developing them. V'ziku kakesef boiferes, and purifying silver with lead, and carrying heavy, schlepping heavy burdens, and long business trips, traveling and to do business. This is not the supervisor, this is the one who works the field. There's different types. There's hard work and there's easy work. There's many different types of hishtadlus, and one is not obligated to do all of them. I guess the shaila is, if one is not obligated to do everything, as makes a lot of sense, then how does one know what he's supposed to do? Am I supposed to be a lawyer or a doctor? Am I supposed to be a dentist or a psychologist or an accountant? What am I supposed to do? He says, "Umishu mibnei odom chozok beguf v'chalosh bakorosoi." A person who has strong body and maybe a little bit weaker in this mental prowess, roy loy mehen mashiyesh loy mina yigia kfisho chalizbo. So he maybe goes into the more physical type of labor according to what he can tolerate. But one who's a little bit weaker in his body, but his mind is very strong, he should not search for those types of hishtadlus that put great tiring and pain in his body, and he should do something which is easier for his body, because he's not such a strong physical constitution. So one thing is, a person should choose his form of parnosa, his profession, his business, his hishtadlus, according to his koiches haguf, mind, body, the things that I'm most capable of. That's one. Ulechol odom yesh chifetz b'malocha b'schira mebilti zulosa. He says, and to each person there's a desire to do a certain malocha and not others. In other words, now he introduces another factor. Not only is one factor my physical capabilities or mental capabilities to do the hishtadlus, but there's desire. That's also, so one factor is my ability, the other factor is my netiyas, my leanings, my desires. He says, Hashem has put into the nature of a person love for certain types of activities, and other living creatures. In the nature of a cat is seidaso achborim, is capturing rats. Uveteva hanetz, and the teva of an eagle, seidas masheroi loy min hoif, capturing other birds. Uveteva ho'ayul, and the nature of a ram, seidas hanachoshim, he captures snakes. V'chein yesh min ha'oifes she'otzudu hadogim levad. and there are birds that only go after fish. V'chein b'teva min v'min mimine ha'chayim. Each species has its own nature. Netiyo v'tavo el min mimine hatzmochim ha'chayim. Each one has its own leanings and desire, different type of plants and so forth. Hut ba'olav liyoy sibul mazoino. These natures are put in it to be the cause for its sustenance. Utchunas gufo veivorov, and the nature and the way of its body and its limbs are appropriate for this type of engagement, endeavor to make sustenance. Ikapah oruch v'hashoyke oruch, animals that have a longer neck or a longer foot in order to lov shehutzad es hadog. Oh no, I'm sorry. The bird that captures fish has to have a longer beak and a longer neck in order to be able to, you know, to bend into the river, whatever. V'kashen v'atzipor nechozek lari, and a lion has to have a strong teeth and strong nails for his work. V'akarnayim l'ashor v'la'ayil, and horns for a shore and an ayil. Asher tuchan mezoinoy min hatzemach lo nosan loy klei hatzayid v'teref, and that whose nature is to sustain itself from grass or from how do you call it? Herbs and things like this, from growing things, not from animals. He doesn't need such ability to hunt and to capture prey. So each one is different, and it seems that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is that he assigned people different natures, physical, mental, developmental, all of these things, desires, passions, interests, leanings.
Do what you love to do.
Is that?
Do what you love to do.
That's right. And that's all as part of, but it's even more than that. It's the reason for that design is because that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And the design is one of the ways that a person, I just had a situation with a young man today, had to make a life altering decision between two directions in terms of doing something that he thought would be more lucrative and doing something that he thought would be more pleasurable to him. The lucrative one he would hate, he felt. The one that he would truly enjoy, which had to do with helping people, he felt he wouldn't be able to make a decent living. And when I quoted to him this Chovas Halevavos, and it seems that the factors that he puts in here are the capabilities that a person has, the nature that he has, the love, the feeling, the passion. He doesn't put in the amount of money that the average person in that profession makes. And I believe that is based on the Mishnah at the end of Kiddushin, where the Mishnah says that a person should learn an umnes kalo nekiyo. He should choose a profession which is light and clean, whatever that means. And he says, because there's no umnes that doesn't have riches and poverty, because the riches and the poverty does not come from the umnes. Everything depends on a person's schus. And it seems that the pshat in that is that there is a teva. It's true, doctors make more money than school teachers. That's true. But the truth of the matter is that one who, because of these factors of what I like to do and what I think my bodily constitution is more capable of doing and so forth and so on, and I use that as a direction from Hashem that that's what I should be doing, then a person like that doesn't have to worry about parnosa, because parnosa does not come from the umnis. It really comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It depends on my schusim. And if I have the schusim, then even though the teva is that the doctor is going to make more than the teacher, statistically that's what happens, but if I have the schusim, I will change that. I'll rise above that. And we see that every day. You know, we see doctors that didn't win the lottery and teachers that did. And, you know, so everything changed. So that's the way we have to look at it. Okay. And based on this, we find different people who are ready and appropriate for different types of work. A person who finds in his midos and in his nature a craving to a certain type of work, and his body is appropriate for it, he has the physical stamina for it, and he can tolerate the tircha, the work, yechazer oleo, he should go after it. That's the thing. That is his directive from Hashem as to what he's supposed to do. You want to know how you're supposed to be mishtabel to make your living? According to this, you desire such a type of thing. Your body is capable of it. You can tolerate the difficulty. That's the thing you should be looking for. For yosem oisus sibol avosmus, and he should put it as the siba for the bringing in of his sustenance. In other words, of course, it all comes from Hashem, but we're supposed to do a hishtadlus because we're not supposed to rely on miracles. Hishtadlus should be in this direction. The yizboil misko umari ruso, and he should tolerate its sweetness and its bitterness. The al yokutz kishimoni mimenu hateref biktsasu itim. And he shouldn't also not be upset when sometimes the sustenance is being held back at times from him. Now, this is interesting. So in other words, even though once you've gone through this process of choosing the right way, that which is suitable to you and so forth and so on, then even though it has sweetness and bitterness, it's not always going to be sweet. This is the thing that I want to do. Many people have chosen the profession that they want to do, but they can't say that every day of the week is the sweetest. You know, I'm doing the thing that makes me happy, but I got some rough days there too. So he says, those things, don't give up because of that, and don't despise what you're doing because of that, because that's part of it. In other words, you have to expect that even when you choose the thing that you want to do and that you're craving to do and that you're capable of doing and so forth, there's going to be rough times too, and you have to tolerate it. Once you've made that right choice, then don't worry about the difficulties. What should you do? I have difficulty. I chose the right. Listen, I did what I was supposed to do. I figured out what my body can tolerate. I figured out what my mind can tolerate. I figured out what I like to do. I really used all of these criteria, and I finally decided this is what I want to do in life. And oy vey, what I'm going through in this process. It says, don't stop because of that. Don't give up. Don't hate it. Ach yivtach beloikim. Trust Hashem, sheyaspik loy tarpoy, that he will sustain him with his sustenance, with what he needs, kol yemei chayov, all the days of his life. So the answer for a person who hasn't done his proper hishtadlus, then I don't know. He's not talking about that, maybe, such a person. So if things are not working out for him, we'll say, hey, you know, you're supposed to do a hishtadlus. That was your chiyuv. You're not on the level to do it. Ein simch l'anes. You're relying on nisim. Maybe you don't have enough schusim to get nisim. So you better be memayet anes. You better go and do more hishtadlus. So you shouldn't need such nisim because you don't have that capability. However, to the person who chose the right thing, this is what my goof can handle, this is what my mind can handle, this is what I like, this is the thing I'm supposed to do, and it's not working. If it happens that it doesn't work, so he says. Now it's interesting. He says, "Kishayimna mimeno hateref biktsasu itim." So it says when the sustenance will be withheld. Sometimes it sounds like if it'll be withheld all the time, maybe you have to rethink your whole ishtadlus. Let's say a guy that goes into medicine, okay, and he finds out that he can't bear the sight of blood. I don't know if doctors have to see blood today, you know, but it used to be, that's what they say. A doctor, if he can't bear the sight of blood, he can't be a doctor. So he went in, became a doctor and everything else, and he's ready to practice, but he can't stand, he faints when he sees blood. So that, in that case, I would say, hey, maybe you made the wrong decision. You got to go back and do something which is appropriate. You made a mistake. But if basically I made the right decision, and it's working, just miktsas ho'itim, sometimes I find I can't make a living this way. That's not the reason to go back and say, oh, I must have made a mistake. I got to go back to school. I got to go retrain. No, If you completely failed, then maybe you made the wrong decision. But if it's miktsas ho'itim, then the answer is not to give up on it, but ach yiftach b'elokim she'yaspik lo tarpoi kol yemei chayov, you should trust in Hashem that He will provide your sustenance for the entirety of your life. So we see clearly from the Chovas HaLevavos this idea that if I did in fact, or I am in fact doing the right ishtadlus, I'm not relying on miracles. And I know that this is working for me sometimes, so I don't have to reconsider my whole decision. But right now it's not working, I'm not making a parnosa, so what do I do? What you do is don't go back to school, don't close your business, don't close your profession and go back to school. Rather, trust Hashem that He will sustain, He will provide all of your needs, all of the days of your life. Now, I have a couple of questions over here. First of all, Yivtach Belekim. Elekim is the Midas Ha'adin, not the Midas Harachamim. I would understand Bitochen and the Midas Harachamim. Yivtach Bashem. Boruch HaGever SheYivtach Bashem. Hashem is the Baal Harachamim. Oh, I trust in His Rachamim. But here, I'm trusting in the Midas Ha'adin. Yivtach Be'elekim SheYaspik LeKarpot. So I don't know the answer for sure, but I wonder if it's a thought that has to be considered, that maybe when it comes to Parnoso, that you don't have to be afraid of the Midas Hadin. Everybody has a right to Parnoso. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Peseches Yodecho. Hashem, you open your hand, you deal with the Parnoso yourself, with your own hand, not through agents. Umasbia, and you satisfy Lechol Chai, all living creatures according to its Rotzen. So that's something that even the Midas Hadin, that's the din. It may be that a person doesn't deserve his parnosa, but there's a Midas Hadin in the world, and Hashem is mefarnish. He's neisein lechem lechol bosor. That's to a din. That's a din, even though an individual may not deserve, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is neisein lechem lechol bosor, therefore you have a right to rely even on the belikim, on the Midas Hadin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, in fact, not only because of His rachamim, but even because of His dindika commitment to sustain the whole creature, the whole creation, that sheyaspik lo tarpo. But I want to ask you another question. Why does it say, kol yemei chayov? He should, if the guy, right, listen, I have a good profession, I have a good business, right now it's not working so well, it used to work well, I made the right decision, I'm sure it's going to work well again, today it ain't working, so I should yiftach pelikim sheyaspik lo tarpo ayoyim. Today, tomorrow, kol yemei chayov. Seems a bit much. Like, why do I have to go so far? It seems, I would suggest, that what it means is as follows. A person who has bitochon that Hashem is going to provide me today, but I can't imagine that it's kol yemei chayov, doesn't have bitochon that Hashem is going to provide for him today either. Because what's the difference? Why is He providing for you today? He's providing for you today because you deserve it? How do you know? Maybe you don't. Elamai, He's providing for you today because He provides. Because He's always the provider. Because He's noisei lechem lechol bosor. If that's the case, you have to trust that He's going to do it your whole life. If it's only today, so you could say, today? I don't know. If I'm trusting Hashem, you know, I think today He's going to help me. Well, why today and not tomorrow? Well, today I know. I don't know about tomorrow. Maybe you don't deserve it. So the only way to get around that is I'm trusting Hashem whether I deserve it or not. I'll always have it. Then you can really have true bitochen. A true bitochen for today is not a true bitochen because I should always be concerned. Maybe I don't deserve it. The true bitochen says not just that I know Hashem's going to provide me today, but I know He's going to provide me forever. Now, this is a sea change of the whole concept of bitochen. What it seems to say is a person who's in parnosa needs, and if he focuses on Hashem is the zonah mefarnes, Hashem provides parnosa, I'm sure that I'm going to get my parnosa this month. Can't be sure. Because if you're relying on your parnosa for now, maybe now you don't deserve. You have to rely on your parnosa forever, because that doesn't have to do with deserving. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is zonu mefarnis, he's noisein lechem l'chol bosor, he gives to everyone. If it's giving to everyone all the time, now I can rely that today I'll also get. So we just expanded the horizon of the concept of bitochon. It seems from this, it's not enough that I'm trusting I'll get what I need for today. Because on that we could say, well, why should you think you get what you need for today, not tomorrow? I don't know about tomorrow. Oh, you mean today? Well, why not tomorrow? If it's the same Chesed Hashem that He always provides, then tomorrow and today is the same thing. Elamai, you're only thinking today because you need today, and you're not sure about tomorrow. Then, and what's the basis for today? That you deserve it? No, you don't deserve it. If Hashem doesn't provide everyone, even if He doesn't deserve it, I can't be sure He's going to provide me for today. And once I know that He's going to provide everyone, even though He doesn't deserve it, then He's going to provide me forever. That's why He says you should trust Him that He'll do it forever. Okay, let's continue. V'yachavin b'tirdas liboy v'gufa b'sibon asir v'siv v'oleho. Now, what should a person be machavin? This is very interesting. I'm working. I go to work every day. I'm not living in the midbar. I don't get mon at my doorstep. Not Rav Shimon bar Yochai, that the tree will grow in the cave. I gotta work. What should my attitude be? What type of feeling of hashkofa should I have when I go to work every day? What am I thinking? So he says, V'yechabim b'tirdas liba guf v'sibu v'nasibu v'sibu v'leo. He should think in the tirda of his body when he's involved in all the sibas and all the causes when he's doing his shtadlus. Lamoid b'mitzvah habayrei. I should think that I'm standing in the mitzvah of Hashem who commanded us to do work. I'm working, why? Because it's a mitzvah. What is he saying? In other words, don't think that the reason that you're working is to make a parnosa. This concept of making a living is a misnomer. It's a lie. You can't make livings. I'm working because that's the mitzvah. Hashem said, "Vayikach Hashem elokim es ha'odom vayinichehu b'gan Eden le'ovdo u'leshomro." I have to work it. I have to guard it. That's my job. Ulehishtamesh b'shar ba'alei chayim, and to use all other forms of life b'tov alos mezonah for my own benefit, my own sustenance. Everything that I do is preparation of food and so forth, and everything, every if personal things a person does is all for one thing. It's all part of the mitzvah. A person will be rewarded if he has this kavona of doing it just because Hashem said so. A person who is doing what's right will be ashrecho v'toivloch, will be rewarded. So this, I think, is a very important statement as well. He seems to say very clearly that the thought that I have to have when I'm engaging in this hishtadlus should not cholila for a moment allow me to think that I'm doing this in order to get sustenance, to get parnosa. I'm not working for parnosa. I'm working for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. I'm working because He said, Le'ovdo u'leshomro. And everything that I do is all part of Yigia Kapech Kisoichel. I'm doing the Yigia Kapoi to be Ashrecho v'Toivloch because this is what Hashem wants for me. All the Hishtadlus that I do has nothing to do with the results. The results are from Hashem. The hishtadlus is my obligation. That's what I have to do. It's a mitzvah, and that's why I'm doing it. And don't think for a minute that the hishtadlus accomplishes anything. V'yeh b'tchoinu b'elikim sholem, and his bitochen in Hashem should be complete and total. V'lo yazikenu hasibov al hasibos la'avo as tarpa bohen mu'umo. And the hishtadlus that he does will not damage him in any way. That when he has to work in order to bring in his sustenance. When a person is, see, he says something here very interesting. Hishtadlos can endanger a person's emunah. Because look, you know, if I go to work, I get paid. If I don't go to work, I don't get paid. You know what I think? I think that my payment comes from my work. That's sheker. That's kfira. It's not true. Parnosa comes from shamayim. It doesn't come from making a living. But yet it seems clear that it does. Because when I work, I get paid. When I don't work, I don't get paid. So he says, that's a very big danger. So he says like this, but when he's mechaven in his heart that which I work is because Hashem said so, it's a mitzvah, Hashem Shamayim, not to bring me a living, only because Hashem said lo'avdu l'shomro, then that work, which is connected to the parnosa, because he sees if I work I get money, if I don't I don't, it won't affect his bitochen. He'll still be able to remain with his bitochen sholem, because he's focused that what I'm doing is not the means of getting my money, but it's rather serving Hashem. So it's critical. If a person allows himself to think, I gotta get up and go to work because I gotta make money tomorrow, then he's not assured of his bitochen in Hashem. In fact, he can go off because he thinks his work brings him money. But if a person says, I'm working, you know why I'm going to work tomorrow? Because Hashem said, lo'avdu l'shomro. That's all. Otherwise, I wouldn't go to work. Because parnos is from Hashem. Such a person will be protected in his bitochen. V'ayachshoiv, he continues, ki tarpo ma'omad al sibo yodua. Don't think that your sustenance depends on any one particular form of ishtadlus. V'shim timona hasiba ahim imeno lo yovo b'sibo acheres. And if I withhold one form of ishtadlus, then it won't come from some other way. Rather, you should trust Hashem with your sustenance. I think what this means is as follows. I'm trusting Hashem. It's not my ishtadlus, but I'm trusting Him to bring it through my paycheck. I'm trusting it to send it through my boss. I'm trusting Him to send it through my business. What's wrong with that? I'm doing the work because it's a mitzvah. And I'm trusting Hashem. The only thing is, if you ask me, how's He going to send it to me? He's going to send it to me through my paycheck. He's going to send it to me through my business. He says, no, that's also no good. He says, don't think that it depends upon any one form of ishtadlus. And if you stop doing that ishtadlus, you won't get your parnosa. He says, but yiftach v'adoikim, trust Hashem means I'm getting my parnosa from Hashem. It happens to be that until now, when I go to work as a doctor, I get a paycheck. And when I don't work as a doctor, I don't get a paycheck. Don't let that fool you to think that you have to be a doctor to get a paycheck. Your paycheck comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the doctor is just because it's a mitzvah to work. It's a very important distinction. We've got to keep that in mind. If a person allows himself to think that it's my doing that does it, then he ends up missing the boat with the whole thing. V'yeda, ki hasibos kulan eitzel aborei shoveis. And you should know one more thing, that all hishtadlus by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the same thing. Makes a difference to him. Yatrifeu b'mashi yirtza mihen. Hashem will sustain him in that which he wants from them. Uve'ei sheyirtza, when he wants. Me'eze inyan sheyirtza, however he wants. K'mei shomer ki ein la'Hashem ma'atzor lo hishia b'ravu b'mat. Hashem has no restraints from saving, big or small. He can do whatever he wants. He sustains a person. He doesn't need a specific... You don't have to be a doctor for him to be able to give you parnosa. You don't have to be a lawyer for him to be able to... It's all the same to him. V'omar ki hu ha'nesin l'cho koyach lasos chayil. He gives you the koyach to do chayil. V'omar loy b'chayil v'loy b'koyach. Not with... armies, power, and not with koyach, but it only comes beruchi omar Hashem tzvokos. That's really what it's all about. It's really all beruach Hashem. It has nothing to do with any form. It has nothing to do with any particular hishtadlus. It has nothing to do with anything that anyone does or any particular form or person. And just to conclude this, I'd like to tell a story which happened many years ago. It could be that at one point I mentioned this story when we were studying this, but it's appropriate, I think, to this discussion as well. Many years ago when we had the yeshiva in Los Angeles, so we had inherited an estate, and part of what the estate had was some nylon webbing. It was something that we tried, it was probably about $100,000 worth of schoira that we tried to sell off and make money for the yeshiva. The mail to this person's previous business used to come to the office of the lawyer who was the executor for the estate. And for many months, I had been asking the lawyer, please bring the mail in, you know, maybe there's something there that's important. Six months had gone by, he never brought in the mail. Fine. One day, one of the rebbeim in the yeshiva, they asked me, I remember his exact voice, he says, "Nu, you're going to have money for the rebbeim's payroll tomorrow?" So I don't know what came over me at the time, and I said to him, I says, "I don't understand your question." I says, "What's your question? If I'm going to have money for the rebbeim's payroll, if the rebbeim is supposed to get their payroll, they'll get it whether I have money or not. And if they're not supposed to get it, then it makes a difference whether I have money. So why do you ask me if I have money for the payroll?" It's the wrong question. Bekitzer, the next day came. I needed $8,500 for the rebbeim's payroll. I didn't have it. However, after 6 months of begging the lawyer to send in all the mail that came to the estate, his wife brings in a box like this full of mail that morning. I look through it very quickly. I find an envelope just to see if there was anything there. I open it up, $1,000 check from 6 months ago. It seems that we had sold Schira to somebody, a company, and they sent us a check at the executor's address. I never knew about it. Fine. I had to go to my shir. I asked the bookkeeper, please look through the rest and see if you could find anything else. I doubt it, but just in case. The bookkeeper, when I come back from the shir, says she found another check from 6 months ago for $7,500. Also the same thing, we had sold schoira and they sent us the payment. $7,500, $1,000 is $8,500. Put it in the bank. I gave out the payroll for the rebbeim. Okay, everything was fine. No problem. The bank gives us instant credit. Fine. Next morning I come into the office. I say, "You know something?" I said, "Please call these companies." And it was 6 months old, the check, just to make sure that that the checks are good. I don't want to take any chances. So she calls them up and she says, they said the following to her. They said, "We don't know what you're talking about. These checks are no good. You sent us nylon webbing. We sent you these checks in payment. You told us 2 months later that you never got these checks because they were sitting in the lawyer's office. We canceled these checks and we sent you other checks. These checks are no good." Finished. Interesting. That night was a Friday. I remember Friday night. I remember sitting at the Shabbos table benching, "Hu noisin lechem l'chol bosor." I said, "This is exactly what happened. I told him, I said, if you're supposed to get your parnosa, you'll get it whether I have it or not. And if you're not supposed to get it, it makes a difference whether I have it. I didn't have it. They were supposed to get it. They got it. I thought I had it. And in reality, I didn't have it. The bank paid it. Everything was fine." Exactly what I told him. You get your parnosa from Hashem. It doesn't matter whether I had it. Interestingly, what happened, the $1,000 check came back next week. I had to make good on it. The $7,500 went back and forth between a bank in Seattle and Los Angeles for 2 months. It was like November 8th till January 15th, I remember. November, December, that's right. When the bank finally called me and says, "You know that check that's been going back and forth? Well, it's finally no good. You got to make good on it." So I had to make good on it. I had 2 months for interest-free loan. But that's the pshat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the zone of furnace. If you're supposed to get your parnosa, you'll get it no matter what. And if you're not supposed to get it, I don't know if that possibility even exists according to this, but it has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with what I have. It has nothing to do with what business you go into. It has nothing to do with what profession you choose. It's all up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you put your trust in Him, and as we were machadish today, not just the trust that He will give me this, but the trust that He will sustain me all the rest of my life, That trust, which is a statement of trust that he is consistently and always sustaining, not this moment, whether I deserve it or not, then with that, that bitochen will be able to continue forevermore and to be able to be sustained in our parnasa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And next time we'll begin the fourth perek, Goli Neder.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org, where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.